Welcome to Belmont. I'm Pastor John. So good to be here with you this morning. We've been going through this series called Helping People Be Who God Created Them to Be. And today is the fourth and final installment of that. And today's going to be a little bit different. Our favorite way of going through the scriptures here is just to have a specific scripture and to teach from that for the entire sermon. But today, it'll be a little bit more practical, a little bit more teaching probably than preaching, because what we're going to do is just kind of walk through this entire plan that we have together. I'll unpack that kind of in a summary kind of way at first, and then I'm going to circle back around and pick up and just kind of unpack it piece by piece so that we all understand in a more full way exactly what it is when we talk about helping people be. If you're taking notes, the title of today's message is this: Take a Step, right? Everybody here is able to take a step or two in the right direction. And so today, as a church, what we want to be willing to do is just say, Lord, here at the beginning, even before we really get into stuff, I'm willing to take a step with you. In fact, I want to stop and pray right now and ask the Lord just to, in my own heart, in my own life, that I'll put my yes on the table this morning, even before I hear what it is that he tells me. And I want to ask you guys to do the same, because at the end of the message today, we're just going to take 2 minutes and we're going to open up this area down front to come down and pray on these front pews right here. And just to say, Lord, if the Holy Spirit impressed anything upon me today, a step that I need to take in 2020 in my life, that I just want to just take a step down this aisle, if you will, and say, I'm going to make my commitment more public by just bowing a knee and in some way surrendering my life to the Lord and saying, I know where I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And I'm telling you that for me personally, I know that I have not yet arrived. We know that in this life, we'll never be completely who it is that God wants us to be until Jesus comes back. And so let's bow our heads and close our eyes and ask God to do something special in our hearts today. Lord Jesus, this service is about you. Lord, it's not about us. It's not about what we want, what we desire. Lord, I pray that as we dive into this today, Lord, as we look into some scriptures, God, I pray that you would impress upon our hearts that there is more that you want to do in our lives this year, that you still seek to transform us on a daily basis and to shape us into your image. And I pray for every single person here that they would be willing right now to put their yes before you, even before they know what it is that you're calling them to. Lord, surrender is scary, but it's also refreshing. The Lord, renew us, refresh us today in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. What is Belmont all about? We are all about helping people be who they were created to be. You see, people in our city are doing life confused, lonely, and lost. And Belmont doesn't want to see people live like that. Instead, we want to see people be who God created them to be so that they can live the abundant life that Jesus has offered all of us, so that they can live the real life, not the fake life that the world offers, but the real life that's only found when we follow Jesus. And so here at Belmont, we want to do that really just by laying out some simple steps of following Jesus and say, we know that if we follow these steps, that God, through his grace, will give us the increase, and then we can continue on this spiritual journey of transformation to become more and more like Jesus. Now, we know that there are thousands of steps, right? In this life of discipleship, if you've been following Jesus for a while, you know that there's thousands, if not millions, of steps on this journey that we call discipleship. But we've laid out 9 that we think are super important, are kind of at the core of what we need to be doing as believers. And if we will do those, we know that all the other ones will kind of flow out of those things. And so that is what we're going to unpack as we go through this today. I do want to say this up front, though, that this transformation that happens when we take a step toward Jesus, it's not because of our willpower. It's not because I'm a really strong-minded person and I'm just going to pull myself up by my bootstraps and I'm going to make a checklist and I'm going to mark those things off. And if I do those, then I'm guaranteed to have some kind of transformation. No, we realize that we have a part to play, but that it's God's grace that gives the increase, right? It's only because of God's redeeming grace that we have a chance at growth. It's because of His redeeming grace that we have been brought into His family and been changed into a new creation. But it doesn't stop there. It's because of His redeeming grace that we are moved from place to place, right? In fact, in some ways, you could say that we are the church of the redeemed, right? That is who we are. We are people who have been redeemed, not by our own doing, but because of God's doing. And so we're relying on Him to refine us and to take us through the fire and to, you know, it doesn't sound fun, right, to go through a fire. But when God refines you and shapes you and you come out on the other side a little better than you were before, that's a really good thing. And so that is the summary of what it is that we are about here at Belmont. So let's back up, unpack that a little bit more, and see exactly what is it we're talking about when we say this. Well, people in our city are doing life confused, lonely, and lost. You might have one of these near you. Go ahead and grab one of those. And what we mean by that is this, is that people are going through life confused. Even though we live in the information age, right? Anything these days, if you can't think of an answer or remember somebody's name in like 4 seconds, what's the first thing you do? You reach in your pocket, pull out your device, and Google it. Like, forget the whole thinking thing, right? Just like look it up real quick. And so we live in this information age and we're swimming in data, but you can't believe everything you read or see on the internet, right? And there's a whole lot going on where people in this day and age say it's not really about truth, or they would say maybe that all truth is just subjective. So however I feel in this moment or whatever it is that the world says right now, that's true, and everybody should have to subscribe to that. And so we realize that even though there's more information readily available these days, that it's more, this is probably the most confusing time in all of history to live, and there's all kinds of crazy ideas floating around out there. So we want to be a place that's helping people believe the right things, primarily the right things about God, about how, who He is, and about what He has done on our behalf through His Son, Jesus Christ. And people are also lonely. They don't have a place to belong. It's an epidemic. Once again, we live in this connected country and this connected world where everybody can get a hold of each other so easily, but more and more we just do that from behind a screen. And even though we have the ability, we say, to be more connected and to have more friends, right? Like thousands of friends online, more and more people have fewer and fewer friends in person. And more people are coming into the doors of our church and saying, you know what, I'm lonely. Like, I'm not from here. I don't have any family here. I don't have a place to belong. I don't know if I'll be welcomed. I don't know if I'll fit in. I don't know if people will accept me. And people need a place to belong because they've been adopted into God's family, and they need to hear that they are welcome here and that they have a place to belong here. And people are also lost. What do we mean by that? People don't know who it is that they're supposed to become. They don't know what their purpose in life is. They sometimes hold on to a dream that they've adopted from somewhere else, but it's really not part of God's plan for them. And this world really tries to tell us that you should try to become this or that, or, you know, here's some really good advice. You can be whatever you want to be. Has anybody ever heard that? And that's really pitched out there as a super awesome parenting idea. Like, hey, sweetheart, whatever you put your mind to, you can do it. Well, I get the idea behind that. But that's not really true, is it? It's not really true that whatever you think of, you could actually do it. It is true that whatever God has called you to and how He's wired you up and made you fit into the whole, that you could really excel at that, and you will find the most joy in life when you figure out how God made you and who He made you to be. And when you figure that out and you live that out, you can really excel and grow and find joy and live the abundant life. But if you're a fish that's trying to fly because your parents told you you could be whoever you want to be, you'll spend the rest of your life tired out, gasping for air, because you're trying to do something that you weren't made to do. Likewise, if you're a bird that's trying to swim underwater all the time, you're going to find yourself drowning. Anybody here ever feel like you're just drowning in life, going through life? That's totally possible that you need to ask God to tweak and help you understand a little bit more of what your purpose is so that you can flourish and grow into the person He wants you to be. And so that's what we mean when we say people in our city are doing life confused, lonely, and lost. And we want to be a place that's helping people instead be who they were created to be. We say helping because that's what we were called to do. We were called to go and make disciples and do what? Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Like, we are supposed to be out making disciples, helping people figure out that Jesus is what they should believe in, that they have a place to belong in God's family, and that they could become more, mainly a follower of Jesus and living out their spiritual gifts in that way. We also say helping because God has invited us into this story, His story of helping others. But it's not us that gives the increase. It's not us that changes people. Have you ever tried to change anybody? Come on. Have you ever tried to manipulate another person? How about like that? Yeah, you have. You've tried to change people. How did that go? Not that good, right? That person was just not as smart as you. You wanted to change them into your image, and they just did not want to go there. They thought they were fine the way they were. God has invited us into this story of making disciples, of helping people be, because He will do the transforming work. We can plant seeds, we could do our part, but God is the one that gives the increase. He does the transformation. So we're helping people be who God created them to be. You see, we were made in the image of God, and we were all made uniquely. So we're not trying to help people be something that is totally not aligned with Scripture, totally something that's completely of the world and not God-honoring. Instead, we want to help people be who God created them to be, to for us as a church to get really good at recognizing people and what their gifts are, and to go, you know what, I bet you would be really good at this. And sometimes those people that are hurting, they're lonely, they're lost, and they're confused, they can't even see in themselves what you could see in them. As God begins to open your eyes and help you to see other people the way He sees them, He allows you sometimes to believe for those people more than they believe for themselves in that moment. To be able to see a kid who's struggling and doesn't see how his life's going to turn out any good whatsoever, to be able to say, you know what, this kid's got something. God's made this kid uniquely for this, and he's really good at X, Y, and Z. I have a little nephew named Cody, and, well, he's not little anymore. He's in his 20s, and he's much bigger than I am. He could beat me up if he wanted to. But when he was 4 years old, I was building a deck for his brother, my brother, his dad. And he came out as a four-year-old, all bundled up, and was, like, holding the level, and, like, he was just really naturally good mechanically. He kind of got the concept of what I was doing, and he came out there, and he actually helped. Now, his brother, I won't say his name, one of his brothers came out, and he was not helpful at all. I mean, this kid actually knocked me over the head with a 2x4 when I wasn't looking. Like, thank goodness he was only like 6, so it didn't hurt that bad. But I was like, you know what? This kid, Cody, he's really good with his hands. And you can notice in people how God wired them, and it's really cool to see them in that light and go, you know what, this is a path that he should walk on. And so now he actually is in the trades, and he's doing really, really good at it, because that's what he was made to do. He's really excelling in that area. So we want people to be who God created them to be and not just settle for some kind of ordinary life. So we're helping people be who God created them to be so that they can live the abundant life offered by Jesus. You know, there's a fake life out there. It's not real. It's a fake life that's offered by the evil one, that's offered by this world, that promises things that can never become a reality, that promises things that just aren't true, and it's an illusion. We saw Eve in the garden buy into this lie, right? That you could be like God. You could know everything. You could be whatever you want to be. You could be your own God. And that is so tempting in this generation. We live kind of in this selfie generation, right? Where taking a selfie, really kind of being selfish, is really popular. And people like to do that because in some ways we live in a generation where it all revolves around us. But that's a lie. And if you buy into the lie that this world is all about you and it revolves around you and everybody should adjust their schedule to suit you, you will be disappointed throughout life constantly. So the better thing to do is actually offer people the life that is a life of sacrifice and a life of giving and a life of serving. And you might, well, that doesn't sound like the abundant life, Pastor John. Well, that is the abundant life. When you give your life away for others, you will find more joy and more fulfillment than you could ever find going through this life trying to serve yourself. And that's why we want to help people be so that they could become more. You were created for more, many in many ways, than how you're living up to right now. You can excel and go beyond where you're at if you will give God your yes and say, you know what? Where I'm at now, where my marriage is at now, where my relationships are, where my fill in the blank is, this can't be what God has for me. But God could take your marriage and transform it. God could take your relationships and make them better. If you'll give them to Him and you allow Him to transform you, He will take you to a better place than where you are right now. So how are we doing this? We're doing this by guiding them through the steps of following Jesus, the steps of believing and belonging and becoming. So when we say believe, we mean that we want people to live a life with faith. So when we say believe, we mean mainly believe in the good news about Jesus Christ. That is the starting point of this abundant life. Until you cross that line of faith and you become a child of God, you cannot live the abundant life. You can live a fake life, but you can't live the real life. And so when you believe the good news about Jesus, that the God of the universe knows your name, that He created you uniquely in His image, different than anybody else who's ever lived, and He wants you to be a part of His family, the only way that you could do that is to have your sins forgiven. You see, we're all messed up. We're all jacked up. We all want our own way. We all want to be our own boss. We want to live the life we want to live. The Bible calls that rebellion. It calls that sin. It calls us wanting to be our own boss, to be our own God. But when we surrender to Jesus Christ and we say, Lord, I trust You and the work that You did on the cross to pay for my sins so that I could have a righteousness that I did not earn, and it could be placed upon me, and I could have a brand new life, be born again into God's family. That is the start of the abundant life. But too many people stop right there. We also, when we say belong, we say live life with family. Not just your own family at your house, but live life with God the Father's family. You see, when you were born again, when you came to believe, you were also adopted into God's family. And God never designed for His family to live life on their own. We have a lot of little babies around here. And it would be really odd for someone to have a baby at the hospital and then leave that baby there, right? And then go on back to their home. And the baby's like, hey, I got this, right? Yeah, I'm going to do my own thing, y'all. Y'all do your thing. Y'all going to cramp my style. I want to start out on my own. Nah, that baby needs love and support and encouragement. And in the same way, when people come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we also want them to come to belong and be planted in a family, to put down roots and to be here even when it gets tough. And don't walk away when things get just a little irritable, because that's what family is about partly, right? Is that we're all not perfect. And doing life with each other kind of tends to rub off the hard spots. And sometimes it's not the other person. Sometimes it's you. Yeah, I'm looking at you. So believe, belong, become, live life with purpose. See, God didn't just save you just to give you some kind of fire insurance, right? Yeah, God saved you so that you could live in eternity with him. But eternity starts now. Once you're a believer, you're part of the family, and there's expectations that you would flourish and that you would bloom into who God created you to be and that you would be a part of his kingdom now. And because of you, we would see the kingdom multiply more and more, and more people would be brought in to know who Jesus Christ is. And so those are the three categories of what we're talking about when we're trying to help people move on to who God created them to be. We think in those three categories of they got to know the truth, right? They got to understand reality, not just the truth about the good news, but there's more truth that they'll understand as they grow in Christ. They also need to belong. They need to get involved and know that they are connected here and that they're welcomed here. And they also need to become. They need to know what their purpose in life is. And so those are the three categories. And this is where it's going to get a little crazy, because there's only 9 points left in my sermon. All right? It's only 9. And they're on this paper right here. I'm going to take a few minutes on each one of those and just walk through and unpack. What is it that we're talking about when we say these 9 steps of believe, belong, become? And we're going to walk through those together. Now, hey, Jason, I used to have a good friend named Jason, Jason Morgan. But then one day he invited me to go to the YMCA with him at 5:30 in the morning for something he called a HIIT class. So I'm like, sure, I can trust my friend. He knows what he's talking about. He knows what I'm capable of, right? So we go to this HIIT class. I wasn't sure what I was getting myself into. And so the teacher gets up front, and I'm like, well, there's a bunch of people standing around in here. Look a whole lot more fit than I do. So I started to get a little bit nervous. I realized later the HIIT class, what that stands for is you want to hit your friend who invited you, because afterwards you realize, whoa, what in the world happened to me in that 45-minute session? And then like 2 days later, you're still like trying to walk down the stairs, right? Like, oh, man. So one of the things that the guy that was teaching the class that morning, he started out saying, hey, so we're going to go in these rounds, right? Station 1, station 2, station 3. So station 1, you're going to do this. I'm like lift 2 Mack trucks or something. I forget what it was. He's like, now, if you need more, if that's not hard enough for you, then you could lift 3 Mack trucks. So we all know that in these classes, there's people of varying degrees of health, right? They're at different places on their health journey. And so he knew that he needed to provide some modifications for people. And we're going to provide modifications in these steps that I'm going to unpack for us as a church today, all right? So he says, hey, here's what I'm going for. Here's the exact number. But if it's too easy, you can add on 1 million burpees. But if it's too hard, what you could do is instead of doing a full lunge, you could do a half. Or, you know, he would modify it in some way. I'm like, I see my way out. But this guy was on me particularly because I guess he maybe saw something in me that I don't see in myself. And so he was pushing and encouraging. And at the end of the day, honestly, we laugh, but it's really good to have someone there who's watching and pushing and seeing that, you know what, you could try a little bit harder. You could do a little bit more. You're kind of going easy on yourself, and you could take the next step if I really push you to do that. In fact, I actually went back, and one of the things he had us do was jog around this track every once in a while. After we did like 50 burpees and sit-ups and all kinds of things, it was like sprint around this track, and I'm like dying. And I'm like just going out of the class like, he's like, come on. And all of a sudden, I felt myself speed up really fast. And I thought, man, but it turns out it was the instructor had put his hand on my back and was pushing me. And I was like, man. Running is a lot easier when you have a fast person pushing you from behind and going, man, I'm doing more than I thought I could do. So as we unpack these steps, I want you to see, you know what? Ooh, that's really easy. I'm already doing that. That's great. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't slack off. In fact, think of a way that you could do more and put that yes on the table for the Lord. But if you're like, whoa, this is a huge step and I can't commit to that right now, then just pray and ask the Lord, what is it that I could do that's maybe just shy of that, that I could still be pushing and trying and getting there better and better. So we're going to go in the believe, belong, become order. And the first thing that you'll see there is participate in worship, right? The Bible tells us that we should be doing that, that we should be gathering together. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, to push each other in the back down the track, right? Not neglecting to meet together, not skipping class, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, the Bible is encouraging believers to not neglect the meeting together of one another. And so it's really important for us in a day where it's really hard to find people who will commit to something, to say, you know what, I'm going to commit to being here with God's people on Sunday mornings. There's something special that happens that can only happen in this way when the local church gathers together as one family and we worship together and we encourage each other and we spur one another on to good works and we open up the word and we sing and we pray together and we kneel down together and give God our yes together. There's something that doesn't happen in any other place besides that. And so I want to encourage you to say, you know what, if I haven't been faithful in participating in worship at attending church service, attending the gathering, that I'm going to begin to do that. And you'll see there, we have a little symbol there, greater than two. All these goals are in twos because these are goals for 2020. So we just said, hey, you know what, let's just make everything work in orders of two. So let me encourage you to do this, that more than twice a month, in this day and age, it's easy to say, you know what, well, I'm going to church every other week. That's pretty faithful, right? Let me encourage you to bump that up and say, I'm going to make sure that I'm in church service three or four times a month. I'm going to make that commitment because I'm going to put my yes on the table, take that step, and I'm going to be there, and I'm going to trust God to begin to change me into who I need to be. What's next? Well, belonging, right? So the next step here is to join a group. And so the Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Galatians 6:2 says this, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Those are things that are better done in smaller groups. We don't want to forsake the gathering of ourselves together, but in a larger group like this, it's harder to sharpen each other or to confess your sins to one another, right? Or to know what's going on in each other's lives. But the vehicle that we use here at Belmont for these smaller groups, we call them community groups. And that's where people meet in smaller groups of 10 to 15 people to really get to know each other and to do life together and to carry each other's burdens and to pray for each other. And even to, yes, to be able to confess your sins to one another. It might be hard for you to stand up this morning and say, hey, I want to confess this sin that I've been hiding to the whole entire congregation. But in a group of 10 people who really know you and love you, that becomes much easier. And then God can continue to shape you and grow you into who he wants you to be. So I'm going to challenge you this year in 2020 to attend a community group at least two times a month. Now, if you're already doing more than that, awesome. Stick with that. Modify. Get you some more. If you found the joy in doing life together, you're like, I don't want to miss no matter what. But we want to do whatever is possible to make sure that every single person here is in a group. So if you've like just held up your hands and said, you know what, group life's not for me. I don't mind sitting in big church, but when it comes to my personal life, let's keep it that way. Let me push back on that and say, man, don't do that. You're robbing yourself. Find one of the groups that we have. Let us know that you want to be in a group, and we will either get you into an existing group or we'll make up a group that you can get to. We're even talking about doing an online group for people who have crazy work schedules that there can just be like an online community group of people who say, I can't make it to an actual group, but I could go FaceTime with a few other guys or a few other ladies, and we could start out that way, and that would be a step in the right direction. So join a group, and then become, let's talk about serve on a team. So 1 Peter chapter 4 says this, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And so we've each been given a gift, and the Bible tells us that we should use those gifts to serve others. And so the vehicle here at Belmont that we use for that is our ministry teams. We have 9 different ministry teams, and those are a great way to serve the church body. Yes, there's a zillion ways that you could serve people outside of the church in different contexts, but there's also a way in these 9 ministry teams that really helps to serve the church family as a whole. And having people on those teams is really important to help our family keep functioning. And so let me encourage you, twice a month is the number we're going for, to say, you know what, I've kind of been showing up, just listening, disappearing, but this year in 2020, I'm going to sign up to serve. I'm going to take that connection card, I'm going to fill that out, and I'm going to drop it in the box, and I'm going to see what happens. And somebody might call you, and it depends what your gift is, right? So if you're a person who's like, you know what, honestly, I really don't like people. That's my problem. I don't like being around people. Well, we probably won't put you on the hospitality team, right? We probably won't put a bulletin in your hand and put you outside and say, hey, here's a fish, and we're going to make them fly. Instead, you might say, I really like working behind the scenes, doing stuff with my hands. And we might say, you know what? You might be great for our property team, because, like it or not, grass grows, and it needs to be cut, and things break, and they need to be fixed. And that's all part of being a part of a particular local church body. And so whatever gift it is that you have, let me encourage you to sign up, roll up your sleeves, and give it a shot. It's something that the Lord wants for us all, to be people who are serving in our area of giftedness. And that's a very easy, simple way to do that. So participate in worship, join a group, serve on a team, and then we're going to roll back around to believe and talk about a daily encounter. What do we mean by that? Well, we mean this, that you would be willing to meet with Jesus on a daily basis for 20 minutes this year. John 15 says this, abide in me and I in you. This is Jesus talking. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And so Jesus is letting us know that this life with him is not the sporadic, once in a while church service once a week, but it's a life of abiding, remaining, staying connected at all times on a daily basis. So if this is one of the areas that as we've been going through, you would say, ooh, actually, that's one that I'm kind of struggling on, this would be my number one pick. If you're lacking in all 9 areas and you don't know which one to pick, pick this one. This is my number one pick for all of us this year, to say, have a daily encounter with Jesus for 20 minutes. Now, if you're already doing that and you need more, head on up to 30 or 40 or 50 minutes. Do it twice a day, whatever it is. But if you're like, you know, Pastor John, I have no idea what that looks like, I have no clue what you're talking about, then what you need to do is sign up for our Growth Steps class, and we'll actually teach you how to do this most important step in your life. And so it is the daily encounter with Jesus, 20 minutes a day, and that will change your life, but it'll also change the makeup of our church as we seek to help people be who they were created to be. Next in belong is, we've already talked about our church family as a whole, right? But this one is actually talking about your specific family. And so many of us will need to modify this one, but the next one is family prayer. So the challenge there is that for 2 minutes a day, you would pray with or for a loved one. One Bible verse that I thought about when I was thinking about this one was Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I know for those of us who are raising young ones up at home, it can be hard in a kind of crazy, busy schedule with sports and activities and commitments throughout the day to day by day let things kind of slip by and then not raise your kids up the way that you need to. And then kind of at the end of the day, feel like a failure. Anybody here as a parent ever feel like a failure, like you're kind of doing wrong by your kids a little bit? See me after church. So I'm just kidding. No, every parent has felt that way at some point. And so if you're really struggling and you have kids at home and you don't know what to do, here's an easy jump on point: to pray with your family 2 minutes a day. Now you might think, well, what's 2 minutes a day going to do? You would be surprised at what God can do with your 2 minutes. If you'll give 2 minutes to him, those 2 minutes will change into three and to four. And then you'll be having conversations about the Lord at your dinner table. But start somewhere. Once again, if you're beyond that and you're like leading music in your home every night with your kids and singing four hymns and having like a 2-hour church service, let me tell you from your kids, back off a little bit. But don't decrease what you're doing. But if you're not anywhere yet with that, step that up a bit. If you don't have kids in your home and it's just you and your spouse, do that same thing, man. There's nothing like praying with your spouse. Doing that and going on the offensive together will help to alleviate a whole bunch of arguments and problems that you should have never had to deal with in the first place. And if you're living at home by yourself, maybe your spouse has gone on to be with Jesus, or you're a single person, or whatever the case may be, let me encourage you to pray for a family member 2 minutes a day. That could be you just praying with them on the phone. It could be just you praying on your knees by your bed for that family member. I had a leader in our church tell me just this past week that she's been praying for her family who wanted nothing to do with Jesus, and that here recently they begin to ask questions about Jesus and want to know how they could start studying the Bible together and stuff like that. And so prayer works. So pray for family members who don't know Jesus. So that's family prayer. And then the next step is to love your neighbor. All right. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So what we mean by that is to do intentional acts of kindness for people who are not yet believers, who don't yet know Jesus. And so just twice a month, what we'd like for you to do is just identify one person. Who's your one? Who's that one person in your life that you could say, you know what? Ideally, it's maybe a person that lives on your street. If you're in a unique situation and there's no one on your street, or you live out in the woods, kind of on your own property or whatever it is, then identify somebody at your job, at your school, wherever it may be, and say, you know what? That's my neighbor as well. And I'm going to pick that one person to love on at least twice a month. I'm going to go out of my way to do something that I wouldn't normally do. Not just saying, hi, how you doing? All right, that was one. But to do something intentional where they go, oh, that was neat. And it could be something as simple as writing a card and sending it to your neighbor. So if you can't get out and mow someone's grass, you might say, hey, I could bake some cookies and take them over. There's really a million ways where you could fill in the blank and modify this thing, right, to say, I'm going to choose to love that neighbor in a specific way by helping them with something that I see. You could start out by doing that just by praying for them and then finding a way to care for them in some way. And then ultimately, that could turn into you sharing with them. That is, sharing the good news about Jesus with them when they go, what is it about you? I mean, why is it that you're doing this for me? Like, why is it that you care about me? And when people realize that you care about them, it's a whole lot more easy for you to share with them about what it is that's changed in your life and made you different. So, you still with me? All right. We're almost there. Believe, belong, become. This is a good one right here. Scripture memory. Psalm 119:11 says this: I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So what we're talking about here is being willing to memorize 2 Bible verses a month. Now, I know some of you are like, man, Pastor, you just don't know me. I'm not good at memorizing anything. You know what? I could put a song on right now that you would be able to sing from front to back. And some of you would be dancing to it, and you would know all the moves, right? And your lips would be moving, and you wouldn't even realize that you, like, how did I know that song? What you put your mind to, you can do. And 2 Bible verses a month is not very hard. But when you commit your mind to memorizing that, guess what you're not doing? You're not using it for something else that wouldn't be as fulfilling or helpful. And when you hide God's word in your heart, it changes you from the inside out. And when you run into specific situations, you'll have that word there and ready and available. And the Holy Spirit can pull that out and go, boom, man, I needed that. And it's amazing how when you do that, God uses that specific verse in your life for a specific reason. And so as we talk about believing, getting the truth of God's word into your heart and your mind helps you to believe the right things about God, and it'll transform you. Love one another, right? We've talked about joining a group and praying with your family, but loving one another is something that we're called to do in John 13. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, you might say, well, I love my fellow believers. I love people like I look around. In fact, look to your neighbor right now and say, I love you. All right, that was a good mumble. How about this? I love you, man. Try that. All right. Yeah, it's a little uncomfortable at first, right? But we should be more and more comfortable going, you know what? I love you. I don't say that enough, and maybe it feels awkward when it first comes out, but I do love you, and I do care about you, and I want the best for you. And sometimes we need to just act that out, right? And we need to think of ways, like ponder on ways that we could intentionally love another believer. That could be somebody in your small group or something that you've paid attention to on the Sunday morning and say, you know what? See that brother over there? I really care for him and really love him. And you know what would be a good surprise if I did this and I bought him this, or if I sent him this card, or if I came over and surprised him and helped him on that project he's doing at his house, or you know what? I want to love that family. I see that they got some young kids, and I know what it's like when I had young kids, like to have to pay for a babysitter. I'm going to go over and love that family by watching their kids so that they can go out and have a date night. I mean, really, you could fill in the blank with a lot of different options. But to say, you know what, I'm going to spend part of my life not just me sitting at home, binge watching, fill in the blank, but to say, you know what, I'm going to binge watch at their house while I'm watching their kids, right? It's supposed to be watching their kids, but they should be fine. No, don't do that. Give up some of your time and serve other people in the body, and you'll be totally surprised about how it changes you, right? You're trying to help them and love on them, and God will use it to transform you, and he'll also make our church a stronger place. So we want to love one another. And then let me encourage you in the Become section to be a giver. This will sound crazy, but we're putting out a 2% plus challenge. Now, what in the world is that? Well, some people here have not yet discovered the joy and the privilege of giving to the work of the Lord. And you might say, really? Joy? Privilege? I'm like scraping to get by. And I put a little bit of money in the plate once in a while. Other people have discovered the joy of giving, and they've started living by the Old Testament principle of the tithe. That is 10%. You see, in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel gave 10% of their wealth to the work of the Lord so that it could continue on. In the New Testament, we see a different precedence in that they started giving everything they had because they realized, whoa, the Lord has come. Jesus has died on the cross. We just saw this guy up and walking around, and then we saw him ascending into heaven, and we realized that everything we've read in the Old Testament has become fulfilled. And now we have the opportunity. I mean, people were like going crazy, right? They were selling houses, selling property, and pitching in and laying it at the apostles' feet. Why? so that the church could be built up, so that the mission could move forward. We're not saying, hey, if you have never given at all, next week you have to start giving 10%. What we're saying is that when you trust God, which is really what it is, a lot of times our money has a hold on us instead of us having a hold on our money. And when we say, you know what, I'm going to think ahead, I'm going to give. In fact, the Bible tells in 2 Corinthians, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So if you've decided not to give, to not be a part financially of what God is doing here, you're the one that's missing out on a blessing of trusting God. And I will be honest with you, probably the greatest time in my life that I've grown spiritually is when I was flat broke. And I was still trying to give. Because I could read a book about giving and being sharing. That didn't grow my faith that much. But when I didn't have anything to give and I still gave, man, that gave God some really cool opportunities to come in and say, you know what? I'm going to pay that bill in this way that you would have never thought of. And I'm going to use this family to come in and help you and bless you and give you a surprise. And I'm going to provide this need in a different way, because we think too straightforward sometimes of like, no, I got to have this much money to do this. I got to save this much. And God's like, you know what? I own everything. I can meet your needs. God takes care of even the birds of the air, right? And he can take care of you too. So letting go and saying, you know what? I'm going to give financially. Maybe I'll just start small and start with 2%. Just try that for 1 month. See what God does with that. And if you're like, wow, that was really cool, I want to try that a little bit more, then what you'll also be doing is you'll be helping the church be able to send out people who could plant more churches, who could expand the kingdom. You know, we're trying to plant a church in Pittsburgh here in the next year or two. That takes finance. That takes God's people working together to be givers. And when we let go, God will come in and he'll change us from being greedy, selfish type people to people who trust and obey. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you have given so that we can know you. So Lord, I pray that we would take a step of faith now and give you our lives. Lord, as we've gone through these different steps, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just move in each one of us as individuals to say, what are two steps on this paper that I know I'm struggling in, or maybe I've never even started, but the Lord's been convicting me on that today. And to start out 2020, I just want to take two of these steps, and I'm going to ask the Lord to help me grow in this area. Would you do me a favor? If you know what those two are for you, or even if you don't and you want to seek the Lord, as you feel comfortable, would you be willing to slip out of your seat where you're at and come right on down front here, kneel down by the front, kneel down on one of these pews, and say, you know what, we're going to take a couple of minutes here and give God our yes. We're going to take a step of faith and plant a seed in the ground and let God do his work of transforming us. And not only us, but other people who he sends this way. If you're not able to come down in front and kneel, you could use your pew right where you're at as an altar and just turn and pray right there where you're at. But if you're able, let's go ahead and come on down front right now. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give you what you've given us, to give back to you. And Lord, I pray that with our time, we would be willing to take a step in your direction, to step out on faith and trust you that if we'll be willing to obey, that you'd be willing to do your part of changing us, making us a new creation. Lord, I pray that this year we would be a church who is being transformed, but also that we would be about the work of seeing other people's lives transformed. And we do this by your power. And we pray this in your name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. I don't know about you, but for me, it's really helpful to make a public commitment and just to say, you know what, I'm doing this and I'm doing this. And so let me encourage you that whatever those two steps were for you, that you would write those down on your connection card. Even if you have to get a second connection card and just say, you know what, I already filled the first one up. So I'm going to write my name on this and just put down my two steps and drop that in the box. I'd love to know what those two are for you so that I could be praying for those and encouraging you in that. And if need be, maybe run up behind you and push you down the track a little bit. But that would be a really good thing. I'm excited to see what the Lord may do with this in 2020. You know, some ideas that have already come out of, you know, helping people be who they were created to be is really being a church that recognizes in other people things that they need. And maybe we could be a church that does things to help those. I mean, just some like ideas that were brought up this morning were just like, hey, we could have an art studio here at this church and people could come in and teach art and help people who are gifted in that way to kind of flourish in that and give kids or even adults the opportunity to do that or to make crafts or to, you know, do basket weaving. I don't know, maybe not basket weaving. Or to have a tool shop here at the church where kids in the neighborhood who aren't sure where they're going to be going in the future and maybe don't have a dad around could come here and they could learn something and they could like have a little bit of something that they're good at to be proud of and to say, you know what, that man at church was like a second dad to me or maybe a first dad to me, and he really helped shape me into who God wanted me to be. And, you know, there's a hundred different ways that we could use this building that we've been provided as a opportunity to open up things where people could really flourish and go, wow, that church is actually helping people in the community in 10, 20, 30 different ways. And we're seeing story after story after story of people who did not know where they were going in life and who were confused and lonely and lost. And all of a sudden, they kind of are finding their way, and they're finding their way through Jesus. All right? And so Wes has a couple of announcements for us.